Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jeremy, for the introduction. Right, we'll start. Welcome everybody to the Resources Scrutiny Committee, Tuesday the 21st of January at 6:30. We've had a task and finish beforehand, which was interesting, and those that didn't attend missed a treat. But they didn't miss the sandwiches, did they, Angela?
No, they didn't.
So we'll set off the meeting. And first thing is the minutes of the 25th of November.
Yeah.
Everyone happy with that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I will just sign them and then it's done. Thank you. And interesting night's agenda. Chris is star of the show. Would you like to... Oh, sorry.
Apologies first. I could do apologies first.
Yes. Okay. I've just been... as usual, had my knuckles wrapped for forgetting half the agenda. Right, so apologies.
Councillor McEwen, Councillor Dodson, substituted by Councillor Jones, and Councillor Aspin, substituted by Councillor Cross.
Okay, you know which Jones it is?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And we've got no public questions, no councillor sessions, and no called in items. So we will go on to item number 7. We've got no, which is officers' reports. I'll go back to where I was. Chris, would you like to take that forwards? This is item 7A.
So, general fund report is out before you, so the highlights here are, once again, staff has successfully set a balanced budget. It's in a very strong financial position, as you can see from the tables. The indicative general fund revenue budget is going to be set at 17.404 for 26-27, 17.950 for 27-28, and 18.357 for 25-26. This is predicated on the council tax increase for 25-26 at 2.99%, lifted by the equivalent of £178.75. And the council tax base is to be set at £49,634.15. The inflation parameter we use for fees and charges was generally around 3%. Anything that was over this, anything that was new, or anything that was removed is detailed in the fees and charges report. So they're coming together this time for the first time. I think that makes it a lot more helpful for members because you can have a say on how nothing's locked in. That's what this is for, effectively. So the key issues in this document are around the profound uncertainty that we're currently experiencing as a district council with local reorganisation, as the proposals to move to strategic authorities and so on. So there's a reasonable amount about that in the board because that has an impact on us on our budget planning, on what we're going to be doing over the next 2 or 3 years. We've also got challenges around the national insurance increase, which had a significant impact on our budget position. We will be getting some funding from central government to support that, but we're waiting for the final figures, as the report says, in the final settlement. There have been some models suggested around the amount that you could try and work through, that will send to us, but there are a number of options in there. So trying to pick the right one when you're not quite sure is tricky. We have been working with MACLG over the last 7 days, not including the weekend, and we're a bit back and forth at the moment around something called the revenue add-in form to try and get to the bottom of the amount that we'll be getting in national insurance guarantee from government. Once we have that, that will be a benefit to the authority, naturally. We've got challenges in terms of some of the economic forecasting. It seems to be changing incredibly frequently. It looked like interest rates are going to be high for longer. Now it's changing again. We might be getting some cuts, particularly in February. We might get a few more later this year. But either way, what we've done is try to take a prudent approach to our interest rate forecasting. And that's very important for somewhere like Stafford, which does particularly well out of its investment income from its balances and what have you. So to overstate that position would potentially lead to a shortfall at year end. To understate it would again look like we get to significant underspend. So we have tried to take that into account. Paragraph 5.11 details the 25-26 settlement and the various elements within it. You can see that we did trigger the funding floor here. a mechanism to try and ensure that the council doesn't drop below the same settlements it received last year, so the core spending power didn't fall away. So that was new for us. It's not as generous a settlement as we would have hoped for. Naturally, it's the same as last year, so inflationary pressures, it's not great for us. We have got some additional income streams coming in from things like the extended recycling producer scheme, but again, we're not sure what that will look like. It is to replace recycling credits, so we didn't want to double count. When that comes through, that will be great, but it's only guaranteed for 1 year anyway, and we need to look at what the final settlement looks like. And again, we're waiting for that final guidance to be sure where that is. The budgets reflect the nationally agreed £1,290 pay award for the bulk, and we've when I say the bulk of staff below a certain scale point, those over it receive 2.5%. I didn't detail it, but that's what happened. We made a provision of 3% for 25-26, and then 2% for 26-27, and 2% for 27-28. That seemed reasonable in light of the fact that a little bit more than our settlement last year on average across the two, and as inflation has been falling away, it's unlikely we're going to get significant increases in the employers agreeing with the unions around wage increases. Most of the budgets are affected by inflation. So for October 24, we used inflation 3.2% for CPIH, so that's CPI adjusted for the housing factors, and then 3.4% RPI. So for contracts, the estimated inflation figure we used is 3%, which was January 2025. And for ongoing budgets, a general inflation assumption is 3%. So you can see it's running a little bit less than that at the moment, so we're being prudent again. We are, there are, looking at the markets, what have you, anticipations that inflation may start to creep up again around things like fuel, but once the national insurance increase kicks in, if employers decide to pass that into end users, companies pass it on. We then have the spending changes, which are detailed in the various appendices attached, and we have all of the detailed tables, so you can see what's going on, what's going on, and what's there. The major changes, as per paragraph 5.19, are the insurance premiums, which is an increase of £87,000, reflected on an ongoing basis, the national insurance, and the provision that we made for a new local plan. So the new local plan, 25-45, is required for previous plans more than 5 years old, so that has been built into the plans. Business rates income is fundamentally still in the pool. We get to retain our element locally, and a percentage of the growth would usually be paid back to central government as a function of being in the pool. Paragraph 5.21 details our forecast outturn position. So it's looking relatively okay. We can see there's unders and overs, but fundamentally to be within 328,000 on the service lines is a pretty good performance for the year. And the overall provision position, when you take into account the investment income and what have you, shows that we're actually going to be generating that surplus of 76,000. That's driven in part by the £1 million surplus over budget investment income we're expecting. As I say, they were higher for longer than we were expecting last year. We thought they'd fall away. New homes bonus has been included, but it's at the table 2. And you can see that then falls away in later years. That is going to be removed, we're told, reading the settlement documentation, and repurposed for something else. We haven't got any clarity about what that looks like as yet, but it has been a key income stream for district authorities for some time. The rural services grant, rural service delivery grant, has also been taken away. I don't know, that caused a lot of pain for a number of rural areas. We weren't as exposed to that as we didn't benefit from it to the same extent as a lot of areas. The business rates income shows a strong performance, as you can see, but it drops away substantially in 26-27. This is because we've now been told there'll be a business rates reset, where the government is going to strip away any growth we've seen over our baseline position. So this is something, though, they were going to reset business rates as part of the scheme over year by year. It's never happened to date, but the government has committed that it's going to happen this time. We're very unclear what transitionary release might be in place, or grants or support. So to be prudent, we stripped out the growth element that we would be exposed to business rates to take that most prudent position that we can. Council tax income, you can see increasing there. Again, as per last year, someone's made it clear that your settlement is dependent on raising your council tax to maximum to achieve your core spending power that they set as a target now. So we do have to raise that. If you do not, there is a risk that future settlements will be dependent on that council tax had been raised in previous years, so you get that knock-on effect in subsequent years because you didn't, and that full spending power will start to fall away as you go forward. So it's important to maintain that, to maintain the settlement position. They've also made it clear for authorities that don't do that kind of thing, that there won't be any additional grants. What have you to make of that shortfall should it happen in future years? And we have seen that in some other local councils recently, where they took the freeze grants, what have you, under the Conservative administration, so the council tax base has been eroded, and now they're struggling quite a lot. But you do what you can when you're there. Fundamentally, last few lines on the page, we still put in an estimate of future years' grants. This is something we agreed with our auditors last year, so they work around that. It's an estimate. We've gone very prudent, as you can see, we've only got 1.8, and then we're forecasting it falling to 1.5. We still don't have multi-year settlements, so we don't know what else it could be. So we've again gone very prudent rather than opening up the gap. As we saw with this year's settlement, it was the exact same as last year's. So you would be a very brave person to think it's going to be higher next year, particularly with districts and what have you. And it may, with the movies and what have you, be slightly low. So we have gone lower. If it's the same, great, but it's better to be clear with where we are. And that leaves our balance position, and then relatively small gaps in subsequent years of 1.2 million and 1.4 million. A little bit there about the kennelling service, that's more of a mock-up just to introduce that new charge for it. Then we have table 3, so this is the changes in the 25-26 budget assumptions. So this is, if you look at last year's budget papers, this is how we get from the figures in that table when we set 25-26 to the figures in the table above. So it's very clear and transparent how we got from there to here. So you can see that line by line broken down very clearly. So you can see, for example, the one-off grants estimate we stripped out, we had 1.5, then we've added in the funding floor, which is equivalent to the same thing. I do a little bit more then around the new grants being paid to us, and increasing portfolio budgets and what have you, and the Section 31 grants, which are grants from central government guarantees. The reserves and balances, you can see in Appendix 6 and Appendix 4, and then the working balance is going to be maintained at a minimum of 1 million again, which is prudent for an authority of this size, as you can see from our net cash net budget position. The significant change in the capital programme is inclusion of the school waste budget of 1.458 million. We haven't reflected the revenue element yet because we don't have the final figures for it as yet. We reflected the cost, but we haven't reflected the grant element, and we reflected the capital element in there. And that's where we are for that one. And then the council tax base and collection funds, so that's when the properties expressed in terms of Bambi in Appendix 5. So we estimate the council tax base is going to increase by 0.7% based over 24-25. That's a reasonable performance compared to a number of councils that have seen reductions in that due to a little bit of stalling in terms of new bills coming on stream recently. The council tax we've gone through here, 2.99%, cover that off at the top. And I think in terms of the horizon scanning, it's going to be trickier for the authority to recruit potentially going forward with all of the uncertainty in the local government landscape. It's going to make it very hard to recruit to specialist positions. People will either be sitting tight waiting to see what it means for them, or maybe jump into the interim market or what have you. We're already having some challenges here. But I'm aware that local central government is running a number of programmes to try and address this. And hopefully there'll be some products from there so we can start to see some new people coming through. Then it's into the appendices and all of the details. Other questions?
Chris, thank you very much. Comprehensive report. Members, any thoughts or comments? I'd just like to make a fairly general point, and it was pretty much one of the last things you said on 5.51. And it actually says there the economy is showing some worrying signs with inflation starting to increase and lack of growth. When was this report put together?
Probably started getting these first drafts together about December 20th, around there.
So in the 12 weeks, no, not 12, say 8 weeks since you started putting the report together, that bit about the economy showing signs of inflation and lack of growth, has that got worse on the national basis?
There are some early indications that there are some challenges in this space. It shows that we were picking up the right information when we did our forecasting. We did have weaker than hopeful retail sales. We saw a 0.1% drop in inflation, and we have had growth in private sector salaries recently. So there are some indicators or early indicators in that inflationary impacts. And the structural factors, we'll know more about that when we get the new updates around petrol prices, the NI, and things like that kicking in. But yes, it's kind of going the way we were thinking it would, yeah.
Yeah. And have you any concern as we go forward, bearing in mind we haven't got a multi-year plan on that basis? Do you feel like that's going to be the trend for the next few years? Or I'm asking, crystal ball, Greg?
I know there were indications that they were looking at multi-year settlements. We have to hope that they will come through. They haven't as yet. We're waiting for an update. I think in the spring there may well be an update then around this.
In line with the budget, presumably. Okay. Anyone else?
Not for you, Chair. I think the final settlement last year came out in February.
Yeah.
So it doesn't give us much time though, in terms of getting everything sorted out and in time for the end of the financial year. It's very tight.
You've got a very good team though.
Okay.
Anyone else want to pick up anything? Who's that?
Councillor.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks for this, Chris. So page 15, 5.50, kind of thinking about the recruitment landscape, we discussed this at the last recent committee, in terms of our challenges around recruitment, particularly into your team in finance and some of the challenges that's presented. Do you kind of feel like you've maybe got an inroad in terms of kind of recruiting to a full team at this stage, even regardless of the kind of now challenges that are being presented around local authority reorganisation? Because that was a really significant concern for members of the committee, that kind of you guys don't have that resource that you need at this point, and it was a real struggle to get that into your team.
We tried to recruit a few times now for our more senior post directly underneath Emma, who's really our finance element, and we've been unsuccessful. We didn't get applicants. That was a little bit unnerving for us, even people who might be trying to take that step up. Well, we've gone out for the tier below some lower grade posts. We do have a list of applicants that we're going to start working through, so if we can at least start to fill some of those posts, that might be helpful. I think they've got that greater certainty on moving.
Through you, Chair, if I could just follow up, thank you. So in terms of like your team, obviously there was a number of vacancies, wasn't there, which we're struggling to recruit to, which we kind of understand the challenges of. Do you feel that actually maybe we might be able to recruit more people into some of those more junior posts and kind of try and get some of that work completed by those like kind of people with maybe part qualified or who kind of have less experience but actually could take some of that workload off of you and Emma and maybe organise it that way departmentally? I'm just thinking in terms of recruiting senior posts, it's been a lot more challenging in that landscape. Is that something that you could look at in terms of department organisation?
That's what we're kind of hoping to do as well. We are on a clock with it because we get more information from central government shortly around what happens, so we may be phased. We don't know quite what all of that means, but our intention would be to do that as we try to see them. It didn't really work out, so fingers crossed.
do you know when you're likely to have those people in post?
So we're going to be shortlisting in the next week or two. And then go through the interview process. So we've done the adverts, got the full list of it, just need to do the rest of it.
That's a relief, because we were all quite concerned for you.
Thank you.
Just on a personal level as well as departmentally about that workload, so that's really useful an update, thank you.
Okay, has anyone else got any comments on item 7A? If not, we'll move on to...
Before we do that, could I actually, on behalf of the Commission, you've already intimated the amount of work that's gone into this, and I'm sure you all want to say thank you. to Chris and to Emma and to all the other members of the financial team, because it really is teamwork, who've actually been involved in the creation and putting together this budget. I mean, it's been a hell of a task. I mean, you're looking at the tip of the iceberg, really. There's a lot more below that to actually get all these figures together to make something of them. And, you know, they've been burning midnight oil for ages with staff shortages, as we've already mentioned in the department. And it really has been an example of sort of public service ethos in action. And so I'd like to thank all of them, and I'm sure all of you want to say thank you for a job very well done. Thank you for putting it all together.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Could I endorse that view, because it's obvious, as a cabinet member said, this has not been done during the normal working days. It has taken an awful lot of additional work for this to be compiled and presented to us tonight. So I would like to agree that we should be thanking all of the team for the hard work and for NTS.
Okay, thank you. Can we sort of hold on to that thought, because we've got another item now, which is...
are we agreeing to take it to council? Take the recommended?
Right. I've just been asked, is the committee happy to take this report to council?
Yes, Chair.
Yeah.
I propose that we do accept the recommendations.
Yeah, thank you. So that's A through to H.
H.
Yeah. There's no one against. Okay. So we'll move on, please, to item number 7. So while we were thanking the team for what's been done before, can we also thank the team for bringing fees and charges now rather than before Christmas, which last year caused all sorts of problems in terms of budgets. Would you like to go through the fees and charges review? And we're starting on page 61.
Details the committee charges to be recommended to council, specifically any new charges, which are included in paragraph 5.1, and any increases above 3.4%, which are included in appendix 1, including 3.4%, because that's what RPI was running at, so that's what we did. The bulk of committee charges were increased at 3%. That was the current recommendation, or to look at trying to go towards full cost recovery, and fundamentally, it is around if we don't collect in those fees and charges, it would widen the budget gap position. So the detail is as per the report, new charges are there. I don't find the label as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
The first line of the recommendation is that the proposed fees and charges are 20 to 25.
Yeah, look at that change.
Thank you.
Should be
2025,
shouldn't it?
Should be, yes.
That's
2025.
Yeah,
in the first one,
yeah. What was...
Paragraph 2.1. 2.1, the
proposed
charges for 2025, not 2024.
Yes. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. That's obviously been missed by the spell
it's
checking.
It's just a misprint there. Yeah. The wrong key has been hit.
Same on 2.2 as well.
How does the committee want to deal with this fees and charges? Do you want to go through page by page or line by line? We could be here a long while, but...
So page by page,
Chair. Are you all okay with that? Do you want to go from 61? Okay. And then into the appendix afterwards. So, page 61, are we, anyone? No? Page 62, 63,
Can I ask you, what is 5.10 that I've got? Tory talking a moment of who needs to remain as £5, what does that mean?
It's a very small amount of cremated remains, total amount.
There are cases that are growing through your chair. They're getting more of that in, actually, in crematorium, token amounts of remains have been dealt with. And they're buying specific containers for them.
So what you're saying is, what are you saying exactly? In
a very small amount of token amount.
Yeah, token amount of remains. A small
right.
Amount.
So there's a small amount of ashes, and the rest
and
is.
They've got appropriate containers for it.
Right, and that's now. That remains at £5.
It's just a £5, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, are we happy with that? What page did they get to?
On page 64 now.
Right. Page 64, please. 65 is just and then we're on to page 66, which is the appendix A, fees and charges increases above or below 3.4% rounded inflation. Members, anything on there?
Okay. Just a question on the crematorium fees. Is the increases there around increases in costs for the running of the crematorium in terms of a specific reason why they might rise above inflation?
Yes, it's moving towards our full cost recovery type in
fine.
Okay, page 67, starting with Bingo Club. Page 68. Okay, and that's the end of fees and charges. No one's got any general issues they want to raise on that one? No? Okay. Yes, the recommendation is 2 seconds. What page is that on? 61.
Chair, as far as the recommendation goes, this is a report to Cabinet. You're being consulted on. So all you're looking for today is to note the report plus any comments you should make to Cabinet this week.
Okay, are you're okay with that, Angelo? So it's
yep.
Noting it.
Yep.
Okay, are we all happy with that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And Chris, thank you.
Thanks.
Watch out for the traffic.
All
right. Okay. Could we have now item 7C, the Procurement Act? Head of Law and Governance, I'm sure we've all read this from front to the back.
Thanks, Chair. So originally this new legislation was meant to come into force last year, so we're all prepped to try and amend our internal rules. But the national policy was reflected on, and we decided to delay implementation to the 24th of February this year. So it's before you today because we have our own internal rules on how we conduct procurement, and we need to make sure they comply with the national legislation. So the proposal is that we amend our internal rules purely to bring it up to date with the national rules that will come into force on the 24th of February. The report summarises what those changes will be. So it's reflecting the fact that the old rules were being EU treaty principles, whereas the new ones under national legislation. We're raising the threshold to pretenders to £60,000 purely to reflect the fact that it's now inclusive of that rather than exclusive of that. So really it's not an increase because it's £50,000 the current threshold plus VAT. And really just to reflect the national rules. Happy to take any questions.
So just to clarify, and I'm glad you sort of highlighted that one sentence, that the public procurement thresholds are now set nationally rather than by the EU, which I think in terms of a lot of us is good news. We need a bit more of this a bit quicker. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, move to recommend.
So we're moving to recommend. Procurement regulations in the constitution are set out in the appendix. Are we all happy with that? Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Ian. And we'll move now on to the corporate plan. Welcome, Judith. This is item number 7D. Do you want to go through it for us? Yeah, page 104 for anyone who's lost.
So the draft corporate plan has been brought to scrutiny, but there's an opportunity for you to give your feedback to Cabinet on it. We're in the consultation process at the moment on the proposal, so there's an opportunity for the committee to offer any comments into Cabinet on those. The plan that's attached, it's not the full ultimate plan, but it gives you a sense of the vision, the corporate priorities, the objectives, and how we plan on delivering those going forward. I think there's also a lot of contextual information that will be put into the plan also as well. But I say the important thing was to give the public themselves an opportunity to comment on those overarching priorities and objectives. So, I wasn't necessarily planning on going through those in detail, but I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, just
yeah, was her proposal submitted by the public or councillors taken into consideration in this report?
Not in this part of it. We've been running a consultation since it's went to Cabinet. We've had a consultation process that closed last Friday, and we've analysed the results of that consultation. And I've had a quick look, and overall, the public do seem to broadly in agreement with those priorities. As I said, but there needs just a little bit more work to go through.
Thanks, Judith.
But I will be feeding that into the report that goes then to Cabinet when they consider the final
version. So something will come back reflected
in
that. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Now, these reports, and this is the same, quite often the corporate plans are a little bit motherhood and apple pie. When you've got what is the principle, the process going forward with this now, and when is it implemented?
So the process from here is that, as I say, we close the consultation. If there's any comments from the committee as well, I'll take that back. We'll have a discussion at leadership team, and I'm going to update the draft plan and take that back into Cabinet for them to consider and see if they want to make any further changes. Once they're happy with it, it will then progress into Council for full approval. So, and I think that's scheduled at the moment for Cabinet in March and Council in April, and the number of planning for it to be a 4-year plan. Obviously, since we started the work on this with the Cabinet, the government's white paper on the government reorganisation has come forward as well. So we're looking at that and how probably that might have an impact as well.
Right.
So it's certainly not finalised yet.
And did you want to speak?
I was going to ask. So what you're saying is it'll go to Cabinet. Cabinet will look at it and then it'll go to Council. Should it not come back to resources after it's gone to Cabinet?
Typically come back again. I say this is part of the consultation process. Obviously all members will get to see it as part of full council.
Can I sort of again I haven't said, I'm sure it's in the report somewhere. In terms of this corporate plan, is it going to be put on a shelf or is it going to be a living document? How is it going to be rolled out so that the people of Stafford Borough know that they're going to have a prosperous economy and a vibrant town centre, which is quite an interesting concept at the moment.
Right. There will very much be, it will be a living document, it will be used, it will form the basis of the performance reports as we move forward into 25-26, so underpinning the corporate plan will be a set of delivery plans and key performance indicators, and we'll report against those so that we can demonstrate how much progress we're making in delivering against the council's priorities. So then you will see all of that as we go forward.
I am going off plan a little bit here. How many KPIs have you got to cover with this? Please don't say it's more than 12.
It's a few more, but not a lot. We're reviewing those as well as we're doing this. So some of them will be very familiar to the committee, the ones we've been using before, but where we've changed priorities as well, we're looking at some new ones and how we measure those. So we're doing a full review of the key performance indicators alongside this.
And where will they go to? Which scrutiny?
The relevant ones will come to each scrutiny committee. So for each of the priorities, the relevant scrutiny committee will get their section of the corporate plan, the delivery plan, the key performance indicators. So this committee will get the ones that are around the council and the council and the performance indicators that go with that.
Okay, thank you very much. So we've been asked to, where are we? To approve the proposed vision, priorities and objectives and the consultation of commencement of the consultation.
That is Cabinet that we're going to be doing that. This has come to you for information.
What did you say there?
It's Cabinet are asked to approve it. So this is going to Cabinet.
Yeah, okay. Then. Right. So what are we doing? Just
It's one for notice, but it's also an opportunity if the committee have got any comments they want to leave in the Cabinet, or if you want to ask if you know, there's anything you want Cabinet to reconsider.
Is the committee minded to make any recommendations? No? Okay, so we'll
I think the issue is that, as was commented earlier, that the process that this will go through will sharpen up some of the issues that are highlighted, and it's at that point we probably need to comment rather than now, because as I think you implied, there are levels to this, and probably the interesting areas are in the detail.
Yeah. So In terms of the recommendations, I mean, that slightly confuses me the way the recommendations are down there, but this is going to go from this committee to Cabinet. Right, okay. And we don't need to approve anything else?
No report, Chairman.
Okay. Are we happy with that?
Yes.
I have a comment, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. So you mentioned, obviously, that a government reorganisation might kind of throw a spanner in the works of our corporate plan. I'd just be interested in linking that back to our core principles, where it talks about building on benefits of sharing services with Canada Chase Council. We'd obviously hope that that wouldn't be unravelled in terms of local government reorganisation, but theoretically, based on population locations, it is a theoretical possibility that we might be separated from them. I wonder if that's just kind of a point of contingency planning in our corporate plan around the prospects that we may not be building on anything going forward, and we may end up having to dismantle or untangle ourselves from Canada Chase District Council.
Jack, we've not got anything quite that specific, but
no.
We are adding something in that reflects the need to keep an eye on proposals and development and the impact they will have generally on the priorities.
Yeah.
And then some of the more specific projects, and then we can do some live updates in year as to how things might change.
Obviously, we hope that that's not going to be the case, but obviously, we just don't know at this point.
No.
Do we? Everything's in the air.
So we've moved the report. Just a quick comment from me on what Emma's just said. It's quite disheartening to be looking at these plans. There's no forward plans being put forward. It's not the borough's fault. We don't know. The shared service work, it looks like it might come to nothing because all districts will be disseminated somewhere. We don't know where. And it's a really difficult time for us as councillors, you as officers, and indeed for the general public out there. It's quite a quite an unsettling period we're going through at the moment. Okay, so we'll move on to the work programme. Thank you, Judith. Who's going to take this? Is Ian going to come to the table?
Chair, your current work programme for the next meeting is set out in the appendix, and then we're looking into the next municipal year. So, we've got any suggestions of what future items you might want to look at, but usually that first meeting after the annual meeting will be your business setting meeting for the year ahead. But if there are any things you want to highlight for future items,
Does anyone have any ideas around the table? I think Emma's concern about the changes in councils and unitarisation and everything is something that concerns me, and we need to sort of have a look at that and how that affects resources. Planning, I think, somewhere in the report, there's a vast amount of money going into the local plan. I think that's something that we ought to be looking at. But I'm here to be led by the committee. Any thoughts, Emma?
Yeah, I'm happy if we put something around local government reorganisation on a future item. And then at a point in which we have more clarity, obviously we can have that discussion at scrutiny. I think at the moment, any discussion will come to naught, wouldn't it? So, but I think it's good to put it on our future items at a point in time in which we have obtained information, because then suddenly things become live very quickly, don't they? And we need to have our eyes over that process. So future items sounds great for that. And then when we can include it in our next meeting, we will be able to.
It's unlikely that much will arise between now and the 25th of March, is it?
No. Well, we need to set the new work programme, so it's sort of...
We won't be impacted by delayed elections, so as far as we're concerned, there's probably not going to be a lot to talk about until after that March meeting.
That's right.
Okay. Is that okay then? Ian, you're happy taking that on board?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's 7:15. Can I say thank you for it's been quite a long time since 5:30. Yes, it seems like it. Thank you all very much for attending, and good luck on the way home.